back to K105's Midwest Ag Weekly. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today. The U.S. and China will roll back tariffs if they strike a preliminary deal. That was a move requested by China before signing a Phase 1 trade agreement. The South China Morning Post reports that the signing may now be delayed until next month, but the two sides continue to negotiate and wrap up talks. While these negotiations are ongoing, many farmers have wondered about the second tranche of market facilitation program payments after the first round arrived in August. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue answered that question on Thursday.
We just have gotten authorization on the second tranche. We'll be getting it ready hopefully the end of this month or early December.
As for the third and final round of payments, Perdue says that all depends on how negotiations progress with China.
We're very hopeful that the China negotiations can come to a favorable conclusion. The numbers that we're talking about right now would be very beneficial to our agricultural producers, and we're hopeful that the trade would supplant any type of farm aid needed in 2020.
If a deal is reached, it's believed to include $40 to $50 billion of U.S. ag exports to China over the next 2 years. The 92nd National FFA Convention and Expo concluded last Saturday in Indianapolis. Nearly 70,000 FFA members and guests from around the country were in our state's capital last week. Indiana colleges and universities took the opportunity to show off their ag programs to those members. Purdue College of Agriculture senior Courtney Kelly, an ag education major from Salem, Indiana, and a student ambassador, says this is one of the best opportunities they have to recruit out-of-state students. She says that California is one of the most represented states in Purdue's College of Ag.
This is such a different agriculture than California agriculture, and so a lot of them are coming because they want a holistic animal science degree instead of just a dairy science degree, which is very common in California. Or they're interested in Midwest viticulture because wine production is a huge deal in California, and we have that to offer.
So, what's the pitch for prospective students? Kelly cites her own experiences.
I had never been to another country before I came to Purdue, and now I've been to 25 countries. I had never considered owning a greenhouse and operating a greenhouse or doing floriculture for a career, and now because of that, I absolutely love horticulture. And there's just a lot of opportunities that I accredit solely to the College of Agriculture.
Purdue also had campus tours available for students in town for the convention. Other Indiana institutions participated in the expo as well. Ancilla College and Huntington University each had a booth, while Ivy Tech had their new mobile ag classroom for students to tour.
This is the Weekend Commentary with Hoosier Ag Today's Gary Truitt.
There are lots of unique things about our country, but one of the most unique things is the First Amendment to the Constitution. It's amazing because never before have all six rights been put in one place at the same time and then guaranteed by the force of law. Freedom of religion, speech, press, petition, and assembly are all liberties that have shaped our society, our history, and our government. This amendment's rights are so basic that most people tend to take them for granted and don't give a lot of thought to their protection. October 21st through the 27th of this past month has been designated as Free Speech Week. This is a nonpartisan educational campaign to draw attention to the importance of free speech and freedom of the press. A good deal of controversy on these two issues has been generated by social media platforms trying to limit what can and can't be shared, and President Trump made freedom of the press a campaign issue and continues to express his thoughts on the subject in almost weekly tweets. Now, many people think these are new issues brought about by the dominance of 24-hour news channels with their never-ending appetite for drama and controversy, and by social media, which allows anyone with a computer or a mobile device to share their thoughts to a worldwide audience. Actually, we have had this situation develop several times during our nation's short history. President Harry Truman used to write blistering letters to the editor to newspapers that gave his daughter, who was seeking a professional singing campaign, bad reviews. President Woodrow Wilson used the force of government agencies to silence both media and public citizens who criticized his policies on World War I. And during the Cold War, journalists, as well as private citizens in a variety of occupations, found themselves under blacklisting if they expressed any communist or socialist sympathies. While the First Amendment did not prevent these things from happening, it did keep them from becoming permanent. The amendment also gives citizens the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. Farmers have benefited from this several times. In 1794, the government imposed a tax on a byproduct of grain production, whiskey. Corn farmers protested this change, and the tax was eventually eliminated, but after some unfortunate gunfire, the Grange movement developed as an effort to change government railroad regulations, and in recent years, farmers have been successful in getting government regulators to change some regulations regarding things like dust, water, school lunches, and kids working on the farm. Agriculture has not been so successful on the state level, however. Pork producers in Florida, egg producers in California, and food processors in Vermont have all lost to activist groups who have mounted misinformation campaigns, resulting in restrictive regulations. Currently, in several states, animal rights radicals are attempting to obtain legal rights for animals that are equivalent to humans. This signifies the need for the ag media to use the First Amendment rights to speak out, and for ag organizations to use the right of petition. It's also vital that those in agriculture support the ag media. In a media environment that frequently sees the mainstream media getting it wrong on ag issues and even collaborating with activist groups, a strong ag media is needed to balance the public's understanding of agriculture. Like the First Amendment, U.S. agriculture is unique in the world. It's a free market system that is not owned or controlled by the government. This is not the case in much of the world. So let's continue to support the First Amendment, freedom of the press, the ag media, and agriculture. I'm Gary Truitt.